Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 3 of the Poverty Fighters Podcast. My name is Antonio Aguilar, and I am the Training and Development Coordinator at Fresno EOC. In this episode, I had a chance to sit with a great person that I've had the pleasure of working closely with. He is Fresno EOC's Manager of Equity and Inclusion, and he really gave us some great insight into what equity and inclusion are, and he also shared some of the projects that he is currently working on for Fresno EOC. Hope you all enjoyed the conversation. Let me introduce Mr. Kevin Williams. Kevin, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. A little stuffy, but good.
Yeah, allergies are crazy here in the Central Valley, huh?
Yeah, I was not prepared at all.
Well, thank you again for being a guest on the podcast. You know, we're very excited to have you and to have you kind of share some of your insight. For our listeners that do not know you, can you just a quick introduction? What is your role here at Fresno EOC?
Yeah, so I am the Manager of Equity Inclusion at Fresno EOC.
Okay, Manager of Equity Inclusion. So what does that consist of? What is the kind of your day-to-day work here?
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting because this is actually a new position to Fresno EOC. And so one of the great things about this position and challenging things of this position is it's almost to some degree you're flying the plane while you're building it. And so a lot of what I do is around looking at programs and figuring out ways in which we can, as an organization, have more equitable outcomes internally and externally. So that means, like, how are we doing in terms of our staff being representative of the populations that we're serving? How are we doing in terms of, you know, challenging those disparities that we see in Fresno and the Central Valley? And what is our responsibility to respond to, you know, the needs of our diverse communities, and then really figuring out how we can implement those things into program. Right. It's generally what my job entails, and also providing support internally for staff in a way that is responsive to their needs, whether it be talking about things from a cultural perspective or a gender perspective or sexual orientation or our language, all those things that kind of make us a diverse organization and diverse community.
Right. And you mentioned this is a new position to Fresno EOC. So when did you start? What was your start date here at EOC?
August 17th, I believe it was.
August, and that of 2020, right? I think I remember you starting last year. Okay, cool. So brand new position to EOC. So you've just been at it for 6 months. I mean, and it's funny. I like the analogy you say, kind of building the plane. I mean, how have things been going so far for you here?
Well, we haven't crashed. So that's good news.
Definitely always a good thing.
But you know, it's been really interesting, particularly because we're in the midst of, you know, a global pandemic. And right. So, you know, just now as things are slowly opening up, I'm beginning to get a more clear understanding of, like, the lay of the land in Fresno and where EOC sits and those relationships that we have with community members and community organizations. So it's been really fun. And I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Some things that are really funny is, you know, I've been able to give a few presentations to people in Head Start, for instance, and, you know, that's like such a large part of our organization.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, they'll see me walking around, you know, the campus and like, oh, hi. And, you know, it's like, I don't know who anybody is. So they all have seen me, but I don't really have a context. And, you know, the interview is for 500 people. So I don't know. So I'm just saying hi to people and hoping that, you know, that I'm being open and courteous and welcoming. So.
No, and that's a great thing about being in a position like this, like myself as a training development coordinator. You know, we get to interact with all of EOC, you know, and for those not familiar with EOC, you know, 1,200 employees, and, you know, and I'm sure you're on the same boat as me, but, you know, although we interact with a lot of them, it's hard to remember 1,200 names.
Right. Right. And much, you know, not only remember 1,200 names, remember 1,200 faces on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah. Now, that job title, manager of equity inclusion, I mean, I've never had that in any of my previous jobs. Is that something that you were doing before you came here? Or, well, why don't you share a little bit about your work experience and kind of how you came to this new role?
Yeah. So, you know, equity inclusion is something that I have been working on throughout my career in different avenues, never necessarily in this type of job title. I think my focus throughout my career has really been on strategic planning. And so in various ways that has shown up. And so I started my career as a mental health practitioner, actually.
Oh, wow.
In that role, I was doing a lot of one-on-one counseling with like students and youth, mm-hmm. and you know, development of social skills and things of that nature. And I like to think of this as like the kickstart to my career. And being in that position, I just, you know, went to my boss one day and I was like, you know, I get what we're doing, but I'm really challenged by the fact that we're teaching social skills to kids, mm-hmm. in individual settings. I was like, that doesn't make any sense, right? How are we able to make sure that they can implement the skills we're teaching them if we're only presenting them when it's one-on-one? I thought it was a social skill. So he said, you know, that's a really good point. What do you suggest? And I was like, I think we need like an after-school program of something that's socialized. And he was like, well, if you find money for it, we can do it. And I think he was presenting that just as like a challenge, but he didn't actually expect me to go find money to do it. So then I did. And he was like, oh, wait, seriously? I was like, yeah, here's a grant for $25,000. Let's do it.
Awesome.
And, you know, that's kind of been the trajectory of my career, is like, I'm really looking at like outcomes and strategic planning and thinking about what are the things we want to accomplish and how do we accomplish that. And, you know, across the country, right, disparities continue to be persistent. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about ways in social services or social programs where we can do better, it's like, well, are we actually doing better, mm-hmm. if we continue to see the same disparities year in and year out? And so that became a real focus, because no matter what organization I went to, that was always something that we needed improvement on. And so that really kind of drove my focus to equity and inclusion. And in all the spaces that I've been, I've kind of done that work regardless of what the job title was. Mm-hmm. And so just that level of experience, which that started in 2010, you know, it's crazy to me that to say that I have 10 years experience doing that already, but here we are.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, those terms, equity, inclusion, has really gained, you know, a lot of importance in the workplace. I feel like a lot of organizations are taking a closer look at that. And I feel like there are still a lot of people out there that are really not sure what those words mean. And, you know, I think you're the perfect person to help us define those words, you know, for our listeners that are still not sure what equity and inclusion are. Would you mind helping us out and defining those for us?
Yeah. Actually, that's a great question. I think that, I'm choosing my words wisely, because I want to make it something that really that people can understand. I think a lot of times, you know, the words equity, inclusion get wrapped up in so much jargon that, you know, it loses the power that it has. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think I would describe equity as the outcome that everyone is able to achieve the same thing, right? And so, you know, I think of it in this way. If you believe that there is no difference between genders, between race, between sexual orientation, and the abilities of different people to do things, then if the outcomes that people have aren't the same, that says that there's something wrong with the systems that we have in place. So if everybody has the same capabilities, but everybody doesn't have the same outcomes, then it's not an equitable system. Okay. And so that's really where I really think about equity, right? Is how are the outcomes showing that everybody's actually the same. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same abilities. Everybody has the same intelligence. Everybody has the same level of potential, right? And then inclusion is how you make sure that those outcomes match. And so inclusion requires you to then change the way that you do things to better suit the needs of people so that those outcomes change. A perfect example of that, I'll use myself. When I was a kid, I used to draw when I was writing notes in school. Mm-hmm. And I always get in trouble. I'd always get detention for it, right? Because you're not supposed to be doodling. But that's how I took notes, because I'm a very visual learner, uh-huh. right? And so like the graphics of it made the image, made the notes make sense to me, right? And so by not allowing me to do that, you made it harder for me to learn. It wasn't that I was less capable of learning, but the writing, you know, in the very straight lines, and that right. didn't work for how my brain worked. And so that inclusion piece is, how do we, as a teacher in that instance, how would a teacher support me in drawing so that I can learn? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think as you look later on, and this is personally something that just like literally just made me so angry. In 2012, I saw an article that said the new phase, the new fad in learning is bullet journaling, where you draw your notes. And I was like, seriously? Is anybody going to give me back my detention time right? from sixth grade?
A little late, huh? Now, so if I'm processing and understanding this correctly, you know, if I want to apply what you just said to the workplace, so is it ensuring that, you know, every employee has the same opportunity to climb the ladder, right, or to get that promotion, right? Is that kind of what it looks like in the workplace?
Yeah. I think also it's about, I guess, an asset-based approach, mm-hmm. right? Is what are the things that people bring to the table, and how can you provide opportunities to highlight that? Mm-hmm. How can you support people doing the work that they do in the best way that they do it?
Okay. Now, you know, for those managers and leaders that are listening to our podcast, you know, I'm sure they're wanting to know. And, you know, as a trainer, I get a lot of requests on trainings surrounding equity and inclusion. So what tips do you have for managers, for supervisors, and, you know, trying to navigate this, the overly, you know, increasingly diversified workforce that we have?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think two things. One, again, I'm always going to lean on what are your outcomes? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the rate of turnover for, you know, different groups of people? What is the rate of employment of groups of different people? What are the salaries? Like, these are things that you can actually look at and say, maybe we need to be doing something different. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is ask why. That's a really big thing that I think goes to really improving the outcomes of equity and inclusion. You know, if there's any process that you're doing and you're doing it because that's just how we do it, mm-hmm. there's probably an inequity in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to be able to explain why we do things mm-hmm. in order to improve the way we do them. And it's definitely, I think, a danger to not investigate, you know, why we do things. It doesn't have to be just looking at why we do things. What is the reason? What's the outcome we want? And what can we then change mm-hmm. In order to get the results?
Okay. Interesting. Now, you and I are both part of this project that, you know, EOC started back in, was it August, July? I want to talk a little bit about that. It's the Race for Equity. And for those not familiar, you know, RACE stands for Results Achieved Through Community Engagement. And so it's an organization that came in to partner up with us. And I'll let you talk on it, because I know you're kind of spearheading this project. So tell us a little bit about what EOC is doing with this Race for Equity project.
Yeah. So, you know, interestingly, the Race for Equity project is part of the reason why my position was developed. Okay. And so the idea is that through this Race for Equity results-based accountability program, mm-hmm. it will provide a framework for EOC to measure and be accountable to having more equitable outcomes. And so then what my job would then be is once this contract is over, to kind of manage the continuing of that program. And so what EOC is really trying to do is not just to continue to have programs. We have 36 different programs. We have so many things that we do. But what we want to see again is the outcomes of it. Like, how are we moving? How are we pushing the needle? How are we creating progress? How are we creating the outcomes that we want for community? And the results-based accountability program is a very, very good way to do that, right? To make sure that we're not just using, we're not just running the same programs over and over again, but looking at, are we addressing the needs of the community? And where are we doing that really well? Where are we having some challenges with that? And how do we increase our accountability to the people that we're supposed to be helping?
Yeah. And, you know, I think oftentimes, you know, with programs that, you know, are giving back to the community, you know, assisting people, you know, it can be difficult to pinpoint those outcomes that we're looking for, right? Because, you know, we can say, well, we're trying to end poverty, right? Well, what does that really mean? You know, and so I truly appreciate what we're doing here, and, you know, all the work that you've put into it. And I'm not sure if I've thanked you yet, but, you know, I do appreciate all the hard work and long hours that you're putting into this. And I'm very excited to see, you know, where this leads EOC and where we go from here. It's an 18-month contract, right, that we have, or that this project is with the Race for Equity team?
Yes. Yep. 18 months.
Awesome. Awesome. It's what do you hope to see, you know, at the end of these 18 months or the end of this project?
You know, I think at the end of it, I would like to see EOC going through that I would say like the organizational changes that are necessary to keep this in place. You know, again, one of the big things, and I'll probably say this over and over again, and I have so to this point, really accountability. And how do we hold ourselves accountable to community? You know, we have obviously things that are required by grantors, and we definitely have to meet those requirements.
Right.
However, what is our responsibility to advocate for community when the things that grantors are funding aren't necessarily the things that community needs and wants? So what is our responsibility to say, you know, hey, if you are interested in supporting the community financially, these are the things that your fund should be going towards. What is our responsibility to do that? And then how do we leverage the power that we have as the biggest nonprofit in this community to build bridges and build networks and build connections that open the opportunities for people that have consistently been underrepresented and underserved. That's really what I would like to see. And you know, that brings, obviously, there's going to be some challenges to that. There's going to be some pushback. But I think we're big enough and we have enough influence that we can definitely push that needle in the other direction.
Definitely very exciting. I'm excited to be part of this team, and you know, I can't wait to see again where this leads us and kind of what the next chapter is for Fresno EOC. All right, Kevin, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. For those that listened to our last podcast with our CEO, Amelia Reyes, I did something that I called the lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, or this or that question, and you have to choose one answer. First thing that comes to your mind as quick as possible, you can't be on the fence, okay? So you do have to choose at least one of the two options, even if you don't like either of them. Try your best to choose one of them. they're simple questions, just for our listeners to kind of get to know you a little bit. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What do you prefer, dogs or cats?
Woo, cats.
Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Dine in or delivery?
Dine in.
Would you rather read a book or watch a movie?
Watch a movie.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Would you rather Would you rather spend the night in a luxury hotel room or camping surrounded by beautiful scenery?
Hotel. Allergies. I don't even like hotels, but my allergies are terrible.
Not an outdoors person, huh? All right, that's all I have for you, Kevin. That's all I have. All the questions that I had for you. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners before I let you go?
No, I'm just excited to be here. Excited to be in this space. Yeah, if anybody is at the office or just wants to connect, feel free to email me. Really looking forward to meeting the rest of the EOC family and community.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for joining me in the podcast. I hope everyone enjoys it, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much. All right, talk soon, man.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, everyone. Episode number 3 of the podcast. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kevin Williams. Please be sure to share this podcast with your family and friends, and be sure to look out for episode number 4. Thank you.